Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good to see everybody out on this beautiful sunshiny day.
Amen.
Am I in the right place? We're all in the right place this morning. That's good. Good to see everybody here. We don't have too much in the way of announcements this morning. We're getting a little cooperation for the prayer requests on paper, so we can read them. Miss Mary, are we having class this evening?
Yes.
Okay. And Mitch, while I think about it, would you give us a rundown on the Bible study classes that are meeting now?
We haven't been meeting, but beginning this week,
we are going to start a Thursday night only class at 6 o'clock. We're going to bypass the Tuesday nights and just have one weekly class on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. So everybody that was coming before, you're welcome to come. If you don't feel comfortable, that's all right too, but we got plenty of room to spread out. So if you want to spread out, we can do that. I've got a loud voice that carries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Thursday nights at 6. So we're going to continue. We left off somewhere in the Old Testament. I can't remember. It's been a while. But anyway, we're covering the Old Testament still on Thursday nights. And everybody seems to really enjoy it. Everybody participates and we have a good time. So come on, join us Thursday night at 6.
Okay, thank you. And Mary, when is your non-denominational meeting?
Tuesday mornings at 9:15,
the ladies' meeting. This is an ecumenical Bible study, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bible study. Mm-hmm.
My mind's gone. You said 9 o'clock.
9:15.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here till 9 praying, so they come in at 9:15.
Okay, that works. Well, I expect Mary will tell you when you need to leave.
They come in, we get reminded.
Oh. Do we have any birthdays this week?
I don't have one, but Velma Bridgewater has a birthday.
Velma has a birthday.
Velma Bridgewater, happy birthday.
Yeah, well, Velma, I hope you're listening this morning.
Amen.
Sing to her. Yeah, she's listening. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you. Anniversaries. No anniversaries. Okay then, let's turn to number 4. Majesty, let's worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number 171 will be our prayer hymn this morning. Take time to be take time to be holy.
Amen.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him shall be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus, led by his Spirit to fountains of love, now soon he'll be fitted for service above. Brother Mitch, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, Lord, we are so grateful. We're grateful for everything. Everything you do, everything you've done, everything you are yet to do. Lord, what you have made is so wonderful. And how you made it is so wonderful. We can't grasp all the details. Lord, we are so thankful that such a fantastic, fascinating, awesome God loves us so much that you sent your Son to die in our place so that we could be reconciled to you. We could walk and talk with you every moment of every day. Live in your presence. As the songs we just sang said, we had a sermon already in those two songs, just recognizing you for who you are, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and taking time to be holy, taking time to live in your presence, to walk with you. Oh God, let us be in your presence now. Send your Holy Spirit to fill this place, to fill every heart, to move us to worship. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our communion hymn this morning is number 265. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us pray. God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. Mike Higgins has our meditation this morning.
Union medication.
As I read this communion meditation for y'all this morning, I want you, the title is Christ Speaks, and I want you to listen to the words as I read this. Good morning to you, my brothers and sisters. I have eagerly desired to be with you today to celebrate this time of communion. I am with you each time you gather, and I am moved by your praise and the gratitude you express to me. I am well pleased with my church, and I will continue to bless and empower you as you strive to serve my Father. You have come today to remember me and the sacrifice I made for you on the cross. Thank you for being faithful to the commandment I gave you to do this. I exist before the creation of the world, and I will live forever. But there is nothing that stands in my mind as a greater moment than when I face the challenge of dying for you. And I want you to know that even if I had to do it all over again, I would go through the pain and anguish because of what it means to you. That day on the cross makes it possible for me to look at you in the eye today and gladly extend to you forgiveness for every occasion when you have fallen short of what my Father intended for you. You have no idea the joy I feel when I see your lives being redeemed. You see, I know that this world would have been if I had not come. You think it is bad now, and you are right because sin runs deep here, but despite all of that, I have people all over the world who want nothing more than to be faithful to my Father. I made an incredible purchase that day at Calvary, and I have no regrets. Some of you today, broken because of the ways that you have disappointed my Father and yourself, I want you to hear me today. It is forgiven.
Amen.
I do not want you to walk around if you are still in bondage. I know that your enemy is incredibly defeatful and can sometimes convince you that I am still holding something against you, but that is a lie. Yes. I did not shed my blood for you to experience some half-hearted freedom. You no longer have to be a prisoner to those awesome memories. I died and rose again so that you could be released to give your all to gladly serving with me in my Father's kingdom. I want you to have the energy and innocence of the little child, and the way has been made for you to experience that. So whether it's the abortion that you had, or the failed marriage, or that besetting sin you just can't seem to get past, for all of you sincerely ask me, I pronounce it forgiven and swept away to the deepest sea.
Thank you, Jesus.
I free you from the guilt and shame that hammers away at you. I am glad your conscience is still sharp and alerts you to the shortcomings. But let me remove the barriers today so that you can come close to me for the sweetness, communion together. For now there aren't words to communicate all that my people or all that my Father and I feel toward you. During the dark days, I hope what happened at Gethsemane and Calvary will always be a reminder to you of my commitment to your eternal well-being. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how true those words are.
Yes.
You died for each and every one of us there upon Calvary's cross. And Father, you forgive us of our sins when we commit our sins against you. We know that we are forgiven. And Father, now as we come around this table to take of these emblems, this loaf represents your broken body, and this cup represents the blood that you shed there upon Calvary's cross for each and every one of us. And Father, today as we take of these emblems, let's remember all the anguish and suffering that you went through for each and every one of us today. And let us do this in remembrance of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples gathered in the upper room to celebrate the Passover, Jesus took bread and blessed it and passed it among them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup, when they had eaten, Jesus took it and blessed it and passed it around. Said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. While we're standing, let's turn to number 493. We'll understand it better by and by.
Amen.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, He will tell the story how we've overcome. we will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, can take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story, how we've overcome. Yes, we'll understand it better by and by.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mike, I believe you have the scripture reading.
Be reading from Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire a man to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked him, "Why have you been standing here all the day long? Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers to pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Don't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. And for those of you on Facebook, you may not be in the house of the Lord, but you're in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Wow, God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Amen. Eventually, I'll find where that lip is and set my Bible down. It's kind of a challenge when you can't see well, but it's just a small challenge. Just a small challenge. Because God is good. So, as we are continuing through this study, these some of these things, if you look at it from purely a worldly view, they don't make a lot of sense. Why is it there? What's the purpose behind it? Why is he talking about a landowner hiring servants, and what's that got to do with anything? Well, it's a continuation of the examples that he's been using. There's been three. He talked about divorce, then he talked about the rich young ruler, or the rich man and the kingdom of God, and now he's talking about this parable of the workers in the vineyard. And, you know, this is a teaching tool that rabbis used to use, and probably still do for that matter, the more orthodox ones anyway. It's a method of teaching, of using something that is earthly for us, something that we can understand, to teach a spiritual principle. You know, this is an important lesson. It's all in Bibles who have Christ speaking in red, this is all in red. It's Jesus. And he's teaching a lesson. And he starts out, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." A simile. He's teaching a principle that is spiritual, but using earthly things so that people can see. Because, you know, everybody who was pretty much a landowner had vineyards, and it was a big deal. I mean, they didn't have tractors and all the big combines and all the equipment we have now. They had their hands and their feet and a few hand tools. And so it required a lot of bodies. It required, but this was good because this is how the economy works. You know, this is how it still works to this day. People who own businesses, people who own properties, are the ones who have jobs for the rest of us who don't. That's how it works. And so this landowner, he says, you know, he goes out to the marketplace, which is really on the square of the city, and they would meet there. There are still places in California, at least, I know that this kind of thing still happens. There are people who go and line up in certain places. Most of them are Mexicans, but not all. And there's a truck that comes by and picks them up, and then they go work in the field all day. I used to watch this while I was out there driving a truck and picking up the produce that they had picked. And they do still have a lot of the equipment and things, but they still hire a lot of people to go out and do things in the field also. Apparently, the equipment doesn't get everything sometimes. But there are also things that there's no equipment to do. They have to care for some things by hand. And so he was hiring people. He went out early in the morning is the first thing. He went out early in the morning. I don't want us to miss that, all the opportunities that he gave. All the opportunities. That's one of the points, I think, one of the main points of this parable, is that Christ gives us multiple opportunities to come into his kingdom. He went out early in the morning, and he gathered some workers. He brought them in. He made an agreement with them to work for a denarius, which was a common day's wage. How much it was, I don't remember. I've looked it up, and I know, but it wasn't a lot. But it was enough for them to feed their family for that day. Now, you think about that, and you think about the Lord's Prayer. It talks about meeting our needs for today. That's the way people used to live. And in some countries, they still live that way, from day to day, from moment to moment. If they can get work, they can get money, they can buy food and their sustenance for their families, themselves. But that's the way it worked then. You worked, you got money for that day. They didn't give you a paycheck at the end of a week or 2 weeks. You got paid that day, you worked that day, you got paid that day. And then you was able to go and buy the needs for your for your family sustenance. Go home, take those things home, and, you know, you are able then to continue to live. And it was normal, just like for today, that you would start early in the morning and then work all day. I mean, if you know farmers around here, you know they start early and they work all day. When it's time to harvest the fields, it's dark when they get up and it's dark when they come home. I mean, that's just the way it works. And so they're hardworking people. But then he comes back. Now, why would he come back? Don't have enough workers, maybe? Just wants to give these people an opportunity to make their living? We're not told why, but he comes back again later on. And he hires more people. And he, instead of telling them that he would give them a denarius for the day, he just said, I'll pay you what is right. Now, they worked 12 hours. And it was divided up into 12ths. So they would have expected that for every hour that a person missed, that 1/12 per hour would be taken away. And that's what they expected to get. And he kept going back until it was 4 o'clock in the evening. Was the last time, and they knocked off at 5. So he goes out 4 o'clock in the evening, hires more people to come into his vineyard. They work till 5, knockoff time, and he starts paying them. And he says, all right, bring the last ones first. Now, why did he do that? If he had brought the first people hired and given them their denarius and went on about their business, they would have never known what the other people got. There has to be a reason, folks. There has to be a reason. This is where the lesson comes in, part of it anyway. He started with the last first. Now, this is a continuation, folks, of the talk about the divorce and the talk about the rich. And in those, he also talked about the first being last and the last being first. And so he brings the last ones up first, and he gives them each a denarius. Now, they were expecting much less, much less. But he gave them a denarius. And because of that, now, each person, if he hired one or two that worked only 1 hour and they got a denarius, they got a bigger raise than everybody else. They got a bigger bonus than everybody else. If you break it down into 12ths, they should have only got 1/12, but they got it all. People who worked 3 hours, you know, they should have only got 3/12, but they got it all. And so the only people that complain are the ones that were hired first. They were thinking as they watched all these people who hadn't worked very much getting all these bonuses, and so they thought, wow, I must be going to get 2 denarii. No. Just got 1. And instead of being grateful that they got what they agreed for, they start to grumble. Ever been there? Have you ever grumbled thinking, what I have is insufficient? Lord, why do I have to do without this? Lord, why do I have to do it? All my neighbors, they have it. The drug addicts have it. The alcoholics have it. Why can't I have it? Because you don't need it. I mean, he may not speak that clearly, but that's the point. We don't need it. We just think we do. We want it. And so these people are ungrateful that they received what the landowner agreed to give them in the first place. Wow. Now, when you look at this in the spiritual sense, this is Christ. He's offered us heaven. And everyone, even if you come in at the last hour, you still get the same treatment. You still go to heaven. You still get to enjoy eternity in the presence of God Almighty in paradise that is so wonderful that our minds can't even imagine how wonderful heaven will be. Now, I know that while we are here on the earth, sometimes we often are tempted to complain and to grumble and to think things we should not be thinking. And guess where those thoughts come from? They don't come from heaven. I'll just give you that clue. They don't come from heaven. You know, I have been in situations in churches where there were people who would come in and never seen them before, but they would want to come in and sing in the public service, and they were allowed to. And some of them were pretty good. Some of them were awful. But nonetheless, they were considered equal as believers. They were given the opportunity. And this was on the radio, okay? This was being broadcast on the radio. This was at Brother Estes' church. But I had people would come to me and they would say, well, you know, I've been here for 5 years, and I didn't get to sing on the radio, and these people just walked in off the street, and they're singing on the radio. And I looked at them, and I said, have you ever asked to sing on the radio? No. Well, then what's your point? There is none. They're just jealous. They have to find a reason to be upset with the way preacher handled things. Or the leaders of a church often get criticized for the way that they handle things. When people don't involve themselves at all in the administration of the things of the church, even though they're invited, but they want to criticize and condemn the decisions that were made instead of saying, well, praise the Lord, we're moving forward. Now, we have to be careful with this critical attitude. Christ was, he was mildly, but he was chastising them when he gave them their answer. It says, but he answered one of them, which the answer was for all of them, which is for all of us who get that grumble in our heart. I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? Wow. God gives gifts to people according to how he knows that they will and can use it to glorify him. And sometimes people get jealous of other people. Well, I wish I could do that. I wish I could. Well, you can do something. You may not do the same thing, but God has given you a gift to do something too. And it will be, if you use it in the right way, it will be just as spectacular as the way. You think that somebody's got to keep the books at the church, right? Somebody has to. Some people do it well. Some people not. But some people have a gift to do mathematical things. They have a gift to administrate. That is one of the gifts, administration. There are people who can do other things like, you know, sing, dance, all kinds of different gifts that people are given to glorify God. David danced before the Lord. He was criticized by his wife. And as a result, she was barren her whole life. Never able to have children. There's so many things that God wants to give us. And he comes time after time after time to offer for us an opportunity, not just to come into the kingdom, but to use the gifts that he's given each one of us to glorify him in his kingdom. He wants us to come alive in him. God come to give life and to give it in abundance. Jesus said, life in abundance. Now, if we're just sitting around doing nothing, that's not living an abundant life, folks. that's watching what others are doing. He called us all into a ministry, and he equipped us all for a ministry of some sort. And if we get before God on our knees and read in the scripture and ask him to show us what that is, he will make it clear to us what he wants us to do to glorify him. It may not make sense to us. It may not be something that we would think anybody should do. How many of you want to go to Africa where they eat people and minister to those tribes? Nobody? Must be because you're not called for it, right? That takes a calling, and it takes a lot of faith, folks. You know, there's story after story after story. There's one story in particular. I read a book, man had an airplane, and he would go in and he would drop supplies to these tribes, and he put Bibles in their language and dropped that stuff. And these were people who were cannibals. And they made a little runway. He could talk to them. He dropped a radio and he could talk to them, and it got him to make a little runway. And he landed there and he started to minister to these people. And things were going really well for a year and a half. And then one of the leaders of the tribe wanted to go fly an airplane. And then another leader wanted to go. The first one got to go, and the second one couldn't go at that time because the man had to get somewhere else. He had to do something else. So he took his spear and threw it right in his heart, killed him. That man's wife and children, 2 years later, they moved into that village where they killed their husband and father. And they ministered to these people, and they led them all to the Lord. And they quit being cannibals. And they started living a life for God. Now, folks, that's the kind of calling that God has for all of us. It doesn't necessarily have to be something so dramatic and so magnificent. But here's the thing. Anything we do for God, greeting people at the door, opening the door for someone, those are things that, whether you realize it or not, are putting jewels in your crown in heaven. Because you are serving others for Christ. It doesn't have to be spectacular. Go to the nursing homes, visit elderly people. Whether you know them or not is irrelevant. Whether they know you or not is irrelevant. Just minister to them. Go in there and say, hi, how you doing? Love on them. It's amazing what kind of friendships you can build with some of these people. I during my ministry time at one of the nursing homes in Scottsburg, I had the privilege of meeting a lot of elderly, godly people that would come and worship, raise their hands, and praise God and have a good time in the Lord. There were two in particular, a man, an older man, and an older woman. They were both in wheelchairs. One had had a stroke and only one side of his body worked. And the other one, she was just getting pretty feeble. She was 101, so, you know. But they would both scoot in their wheelchairs and get chairs for people as they came in. They'd take their good arm and walk over and get a chair and pick it up and drag it over and set it down for them. There you go. And when they were taking their jackets off, they'd be over there with their good hands, helping them get their jackets off and get them back on. It was just amazing to see the hearts of these people. And that one gentleman who had had the stroke, one Sunday morning I came in and his son was there. I'd never seen his son before, but his son was there, and he came in and he said, can I talk to you? I said, sure. The son said, well, Dad, you know, because of his stroke, he can't tell you. He said, but I wanted you to know. He said, during this week, because of the message we heard last Sunday, he said, I listened to it on tape. He said, Dad taped it and I heard it. He said, we both went and got baptized. And he said, I wanted you to know that you were a big part of that. He said, we were baptized together, father and son. He said, it was special. And I'll never forget that. It was just something that was very moving. I didn't do the baptism, and that's irrelevant. But I had a part in it. And folks, simple things that we do, simple things of love, cause people to be drawn to Christ. How are we expressing the love of God? Are we the grumblers because we feel like we're being cheated because we've been a Christian longer and these people, they just became a Christian and they're taking off, going, got this big ministry going, making millions of dollars a year and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? As long as they're doing what's right, it doesn't matter about all the rest of it. As long as the kingdom of God is growing, the devil causes us to look at all the other things, the negative things, trying to destroy the work that God is doing through someone else. So let's make it a point not to grumble this year, but to show the love of God to everyone, including Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all their cabinet. And do the right thing, because we represent the one who does what is right, and he has commanded us to do what he does. So let's do it for Christ's sake. If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Thank you, Brother Mitch. Our invitation hymn this morning is not 370, it's 371. Reach out to Jesus. Let's stand and sing.
Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in his love we hide all the ways through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by his side, all the day through. Just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you.
Glory.
Amen. You may be seated.